isn't it lovely to be able to see one? You know, in the winter we have fog that's not as dense as the smoke. Easily, right?
Right.
Yeah. And I didn't hear, I don't know, anybody on the outside, what the containment is like. I heard 79% this morning.
So which one is this one?
For the person. That's where we get most of our goodies. The Mendocino, they're predicting it won't be out until sometime in September.
In Ferguson, I think. It will be out around the 15th of August. Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. So just hope the weather stays exactly as it is, doesn't get any windier, doesn't get any. Yeah. All right. Well, aside from the weather, what would you like to talk about?
So something, the same thing happened four times in the kitchen today. That kitchen.
That kitchen. I mean, we're thinking about removing it. It's just far too upsetting.
But except it happened so often, it got better by the last time. But still, the process was the same. And what I saw was that I was offered a different way of doing things than the way I had done it. And there was this.
so delicately. Yeah.
And so, but I had this compulsion to kind of justify or say something, you know.
Almost.
It was when I looked and I thought it had been done. Or I thought it was there, but I didn't see it this time. You know, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
But the energy of it, not only was there urgency to get something said, the energy of it was like a plea, like, don't hate me, like a wail, like, please, mm-hmm. I didn't mean to do anything wrong, please, you know, just. Mm-hmm. And what it reminded me of was when on the radio show, when you were talking about fear, or people were talking about fear and anxiety, and you said not to relive the trauma. And then what I heard was, it's not about healing whatever that pain was, it's about bringing compassion to it. So I just wanted to look at that a little, how to work with that. You know, I get these different ways of doing things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this gut-wrenching, please don't hate me, I didn't mean to do anything wrong, I'm glad to do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. It's an ache.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ache.
And it's there before you realize it.
Yes. So it's a compulsion to say something.
Uh-huh.
You know, it just came out.
Uh-huh. Which you see is an attempt to make it okay.
Mm-hmm. To justify my existence, almost. I mean, it feels that big.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And so we can suspect, or I suspect, that there's somebody very young,
mm-hmm.
who is in a situation and something pretty traumatic happens, or at least is perceived as pretty traumatic for the young person, and there's a getting through it. So all those components are there, but I really need to. But I didn't. But don't hate me. Don't reject me. I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to. Okay, and then you go through life. And as you're going through life, you get better skilled at covering up that process.
Mm-hmm.
Now the may still be there, or the defensiveness. Now it's defensiveness, and you probably, somewhere along the line, get accused of being defensive.
Have you ever been accused?
Yeah. Yeah. And so then there's the trauma, the real reaction to it. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody who is in over their head, didn't mean to, really doesn't understand, really wants somebody to understand. It was innocent. It really, mm-hmm. it was mm-hmm. innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
after all these things today, they're completely innocent.
Yeah.
I was doing my best.
It was, yes.
Not how it's done here.
That's exactly right. There's nothing wrong. It's just not how it's done here. But when we're young, we put those things together pretty quickly, right? So, for instance, probably almost nobody's parents said, you know, it's fine any way you want to do it. But here, the way we do it is, you know, or you'll run into all kinds of people who do all kinds of things, all kinds of ways, and it's all fine. But here, this is how we do it. Which would have been a really helpful piece of information, wouldn't it? But what we get is, because these people are not dialed into this sort of thing, so what we get is, no, that is wrong, right? And so as you go along, nothing ever touches that original trauma, okay? You just get more and more skilled about how to cope with the whole thing. Right? And even defensiveness. I bet you've gotten good at not always appearing as defensive as you feel. Yeah. So we just get more and more subtle as we go along. And all of those layers really reinforce the original assumption that there really is something wrong. Right? There's that doubt, that, right, that fear that comes up, that because you know if you're really misunderstood, the consequences could be dire. Now, of course, as a grown-up human being, that's not the case, right? You know, you can get in your car and leave, for God's sake. You know, it's not, they don't hate you. They're not going to throw you out. They're not going to publicly humiliate you. They're not going to... But inside, there's that original feeling of identity, right? So, that's very long. Whatever that was. Not even an answer.
But I can actually see...
A great long tail.
It is
what happened.
Yeah.
And so, knowing that, you can go directly now to that very young aspect of yourself, that original little person who was there, and what you can do is reassure yourself that all of that was done in innocence.
Innocence.
And then what you can do is provide the information that wasn't there originally. And that information is, it's okay, you were doing the best that you could do.
Then or now, or this currently?
Anytime it comes to you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Anytime. And, of course, because ours is recording and listening practice, lots of recordings, right? It happens in innocence. You're always doing the best that you can do. People may understand and they may not understand, but it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is the goodness that you're coming from. And so there's really nothing to be upset about with how people might respond to this or that or something else. That's theirs. And so it's okay. You're fine. It's all right. Don't worry about it. And as you do that over situations that... Because what we're doing is bringing compassion right into the situation. And the result will be that it will be healed. In the sense that it will go away because there is now clarity where there was none.
That's very helpful. And actually what I could see today is that in each instance, the monk was so kind, it had nothing to do with how...
That's right.
They might have, there wasn't any indication that they really wished I were low maintenance. That was all, that I was out of here.
Not at all.
No, there wasn't any.
Not at all.
So that's why I thought, oh, I bet this is me.
Yes. And the beautiful thing about that is, that's the kind of situation it takes for us to get in touch with that. Because throughout the world, people are conditioned to have a, for God's sake, hold a tomato like this, slice it like that, right? And there would be some of that. Why are you such a thorn in my side? right? And to be in a situation where that's not going on, then you get to see where that's happening, and you get in touch with it at that very deep place, which is also because you've been practicing for a long time, and you have a deep practice, and you know how to be present, right? So if this had happened to you 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, or whatever, you would have had a completely different experience of it, right? And so over time, as we practice and we get closer and closer to what's going on with us on all of these different levels, mm-hmm. and we can be present enough to watch it, then something happens. Now we have a chance to see it all for what it is and really begin to make the difference for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. This feels real big.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a lifetime, right? Stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I'm always thinking something was wrong with me. You know, I can just remember that I didn't mean to do anything wrong.
Right. Yes. And there are always people around us who want to make it something wrong and want to make it somebody's fault. Mm-hmm. I don't know about other cultures. I suspect we share this as human beings. But the desire to find out who did it wrong and blame them, mm-hmm. is huge. And that feeling of relief when we know who to point the finger at, what they did wrong, and well, thank God it wasn't me. Mm-hmm. It was them, and this is what it is. And we all go, oh, okay, well, problem solved. Mm-hmm. And, of course, no problem has been solved. Mm-hmm. So, yes, all of those situations, and then again, my favorite piece of that, is defensiveness. So whatever we do to try to protect ourselves gets folded in as part of the problem. Uh-huh. So actually, what's wrong with you is you're so defensive, which is a great way never to get to what's actually going on underneath it. Uh-huh. Yeah. And so you're defensive, you're... obviously making all this up, but you're prickly,
I just try not to show up, you know, I just try to hide.
Yes, exactly. But anybody who gets close enough knows how to find you.
That's right, that's right.
Yeah. True. And that's it. You're always hiding out. Whatever it is. And we're just always putting our conditioning onto somebody else. Mm-hmm. And
what I was hearing in that was just what's available to us when we're able to practice in a privileged environment, mm-hmm. and not be interfered with. So something that maybe has gone on before, gone on our whole life, and now we have a completely different relationship with it. And so I had this kind of, one of those workshops with the body that I'm so glad I live here, because I wouldn't really be able to talk about this with anyone else. I would just, like, you know, smile at me and nod and walk away or something.
Yeah, a little kind of older.
Yeah, like, okay. But, so I have this thing going on in my ear, and it started on Monday evening-ish, and there's like a little bit of pressure in the ear, and it's just this, like, it's almost like a Morse code, and it can go in like a bunch of different patterns. And, yeah.
They're trying to reach you.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I didn't realize till later that this happened to me before, but normally I think there's just an unconscious reaction to like pop my ears or something, and it goes away. Uh-huh. And I did that, and it didn't go away. And then it's just been around since then, although it almost feels like it's on its way out. And so when I went to bed, it was still going on, and it was keeping me up.
Because it's behind the earplugs.
Yeah.
Right now, the earplugs, and
you're
just closing it in.
So it was sort of like, I don't know, there was just this place I've looked here. I don't know what it is. And just to get interested in it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, but that just almost felt like brand new information. That I didn't have to get away from what was going on. I didn't have to go into panic or make up stories or get on the internet I could just be interested. I mean, luckily it doesn't hurt, so that kind of helps it be easier.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this funny relationship that's developed with it. That I think I realize almost anything physical that I don't like ends up becoming sort of an enemy, something against me.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost feel like this is like a little friend.
Like, I just
thought
he has an
it. Yeah. Yeah, and it's sort of funny. It's almost like it's not happening in me. It's happening sort of right next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been using it as a way to come back here. I mean, it's so random. The way it makes a noise, sometimes there's a 10-second break and it starts up again. Sometimes there's a 5-minute break and it starts up again. And so, I've just started developing a sort of relationship with it, and I think the relationship is I'm using it to come back to presence and to check in.
Yes.
And this thing is just, I mean, so fascinated by the noise, because it's evolved a little bit from that, almost like if you had an eye twitch, but it was auditory.
Mm-hmm.
Like happening in the ear. Like, I don't know if there's like a little muscle spasm in there or something, and it's making an auditory noise. But then it kind of went in, sometimes it goes into this thing where it's almost like a wind noise, like if you put up a microphone to like a butterfly's wings.
Uh-huh.
And all the images are kind of like that.
Uh-huh.
Like the Morse code is like a message of love, bringing me back here, you know. The little fluttering, the wind sound is a butterfly wing.
Yeah.
And it's almost like I have to really make an effort to make this a problem. You know, it feels like that place, like it's an electrical impulse, like everything is just energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just get to have something concrete to put my attention on, that life energy going through.
Doing something. Yes, yes. And what a stark difference in that approach and letting ego conditioning start up. Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no. What is it? Well, there goes sleep. Okay. I mean, I don't know what this is. You're going to probably be deaf before long.
Yeah.
I mean, you're stuck out here at the end of this room. You're going to be deaf, and then
yeah.
What's going to happen?
Yeah.
Pain.
But it did. I mean, it started. Let's just go down that direction.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's what's so beautiful about what you're saying. Because it's the exact same situation. It's a little pop, 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 or a little, right? And so either conditioned mind takes it over and turns it into this nightmare problem that you have and ruins everything about your life, or it becomes your little pal to bring you back to presence and to have you have all these images of how this is bringing love into your life.
Yeah.
And that's always the case.
Exactly.
Always with everything.
I know. That's kind of this weird thing about it. I kind of don't want it to, in a way, I don't want it. It's actually starting to, like, the one that's what's been happening in group, you know, like when thunder is really far away and at the very end of it, just goes, it's like doing that. So it's a little pop, pop, pop. It's some kind of way this afternoon, evening. And it's like, oh, wait. Because it's helping you see exactly what you are saying is always a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And the other funny thing is, there'll be times I'm going around where I'm doing things and it's going on, but I'm not really aware of it until I come back. And I'm like, oh, I think that sound was happening before when I, quote, didn't hear it. And I was thinking, gosh, I'm doing that with the voices all the time. It's just going on, and there's this huge tolerance of it.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's just like, I'm just going about my life as if that's not there.
Oh, and so, what if those voices are little butterflies of love? Right? They just in the distance. They're like the thunder in the distance.
Yeah.
And because that's the, if you weren't affected by them, right? Mm-hmm. If they didn't have that ability to deliver messages,
that
there's something wrong, or this should have been, or to start the story, if it's just kind of like a, like people do with a television set. You know, it's on in the other room for company.
Yeah.
They're not listening to it. They don't know what the show is. But they're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so those voices could perhaps be relegated to that position.
And that same kind of experience of like there, it's somehow, it's actually next to me.
Yes.
It's not me.
That's right. Yes.
Coming from me.
And they're probably cheering for you. Yeah. You know, like there you are on your run and they're.
Yeah, and it really, the same thing happened when we were going through the process of living here while there's smoke. There's just something happened where I stopped having the experience of being separate. I had this really funny image of like this sort of like, I can't really describe it, but kind of like a cloth that goes on for an infinity in this space. And it's almost like there's like a cookie cutter thing, and then you pull the cookie cutter out and that's me. But that's just almost a way to, it's like almost a model, but really I'm just a part of the whole cloth.
Uh-huh.
And with the smoke thing, there was a little bit of anxiety that started up, and then it was just this place of like, well, life is all of me. So why would I be, there's nothing, I don't know how to explain it, but there was just absolutely nothing to be worried about. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not outside of life with something happening to me.
Yes, and there isn't an alternative reality in which this is not happening.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And so the only choice that we have is to try to live in an alternate reality, which is, I hate this. I'll resist this.
Right.
I won't want this.
Yeah.
And then it feels like I'm not a part of this, and I'm not.
Uh-huh.
But the result is not well-being.
Mm. No, it's not.
Yeah. But that, isn't that, I'm not a part of this. That's what that process is doing all the time. I'm not a part of this. I'm other than this. I don't live in this reality. I don't like this. I don't want this.
Right. Yeah. So nothing like something just going on 24/7 in your ear to be like, well, oh, clearly it's going on.
Yes.
And it's happening. I'm having this experience.
Yes.
So there was clearly a choice of
how
I could go about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to stay with it a little bit more, the odds are good the smoke is going to end.
Yeah.
We don't know that the beep in my ear is going to end.
Yeah.
I mean, probably. But we don't know that.
No.
And so to approach it as if it's a mistake, there's something wrong. This shouldn't be happening. When so obviously it is happening, can only result in suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just that other direction of just accepting. And I just, the real trust that whatever is going on is for me, is for life.
Mm-hmm.
So there really, I mean, there was kind of this funny thing about like, I don't know, maybe it kind of felt like it's going to end probably, but maybe it won't.
Maybe it won't.
Well, okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just had that image again where you talked about having that really intense pain and maybe going blind, and you were like, well, then I have a dog again.
Right. You know? Right. And it'd be in somebody else's car.
Yeah.
Again, right?
So I had a little butterfly, a little more so. I don't know. It was just like, there was a weird place of like, well, be done.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way of not like, but like, just thank you. And
right, yeah. I've always been here for why should this be any different?
Exactly, and that seemed really huge. That was my experience the whole way. That real knowing of I've always been cared for, and of course I'm being cared for now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I think I was saying something about control. This afternoon I would say, oh, do you know, everything's just going so well today, I'm just really enjoying this, and, you know, I'm just seeing so much, this is fantastic, and then one little thing happens, tiny little thing, it wasn't anybody's fault, it was just one of those things that happened, and it just threw me completely into this sort of tantrum about how everything's going wrong, and
I hate it.
And it's like, I wasn't literally walking, I thought I'm going to walk into somebody, and I'm going to slam a door, I'm going to drop a, you know, it's like everything was just, it just all went out of control, and it almost, it's like, as long as I'm keeping up with the schedule, and I'm turning up on time and all that, it's kind of okay, but then when some little thing like that that sort of interferes with that, I'm all over the place, and I'm getting used to, you know, I'm not doing the way things are done around here, I'm getting used to that, but It just feels like I'm sort of trying to control it all, and as long as I have to keep up with everything, I'll be all right. And then when something happens, I'm not all right.
You're right, and I project you're describing all of life in that. Right? I mean, as long as we do everything the way we're supposed to do it, right, then it's okay. And then something goes wrong. That's it. Okay. I'm being miserable. I hate everybody. I hate life. I hate God. Always have. And that's just it. And it's so perfect because it seems to me anyway that all it's doing is just following you around, waiting for an opening. Well, there it is. Okay. Hell in a handbasket. Yeah. And so. Perhaps the alternative is not to be so in control.
Well, yes, that seems to be where it's pointing to. I thought I got that this morning, but this afternoon I lost it again. That there is that thing about just attending to life and not sort of thinking about things. I'm sort of seeing that. But it's pulled me back into, no, I've got to...
Right, well, and that's just it, because what it does is put you in the knot, right? And so now it's got you like this. But really, a couple of things about it. If you just relax and enjoy yourself, you might forget something or not be on time for something. As Judy pointed out, it'll probably be fine. No, and right, because no matter what happens, you are not intentionally not doing something that's on the schedule, not being on time, forgetting to. There's never any intention behind any of that here or in the rest of life, right? And yet you're treated as if you're some kind of criminal who has to be watched all the time, or you're going to run afoul of whatever. And so to just relax and then have the experience, number one, of being relaxed, which would be lovely, and two, to see how that process does that to you when some little thing doesn't happen the way it says it should happen. Because again, this is the perfect, there's a word for it, but anyway, the perfect venue for getting to see how a process like that is done to you all over your life.
Yeah, and it's like if I don't know how to peel a vegetable, I can sort of handle that. But it seems like there's areas where I still think it's my fault and I'm to blame.
And that's what we're getting over.
Yes, yes. Oh, well, that's what I've seen today, and so I had the impression I'm really getting on top of this, but it seems to be flushing out some new areas for me.
So if you left here with clarity about only one thing, and that is, it is never your fault, that would be mm-hmm. game changer, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's true. You know, I know if people who don't do this practice were listening in to this, they would be like, well, that's crazy and that's dangerous because, of course, it's your fault. I mean, are you saying you shouldn't take responsibility for what you do? And, yeah. I pretty much am. Simply because what people mean when they say responsibility is blame. And so if you realize that you forgot to empty the in the kitchen, did you mean to? No. Did you forget? Yeah. Well, then you just go empty it. You know, it's about emptying the thing. It's not about whether you are a good, worthwhile, valuable human being or not. But again, with conditioning, the way it's set up, that's what it's about. It's not about the thing that wasn't empty. It's proof that you're the bad wrong person. And that's what we've got to get those two things and pull them apart once and for all.
Yeah, so anyway, I could see that's, you know, where I'm heading. But anyway, I just felt like I got sort of tripped up today, what it felt like. And it's almost like I was getting used to the sort of maybe one drama a day, but it's like I had two or three today. And it's like they seem to be coming thick and fast. Well, yeah. So
yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
You only have 30 days, right? I mean, come on. You've got a lifetime of conditioning to sort out here. So, yeah. Come on, chop chop.
Yeah, well, I was thinking, it's like almost here in a day, it's like being on a week on the trip. So I listened to some old recordings, and there's maybe two or three insights from a retreat. And here it's like in a day, it's all sort of condensed down really. You know, there's really seems to be a lot to see every day. Mm-hmm.
Lucky us, huh?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it really is true that, so we're going about our lives out there. You've noticed there is not a lot of support for waking up and ending suffering, not a lot of support for paying attention, right? Lots of support for feeling bad, getting beaten, being scrutinized, right? Having to do the inventory every day about everything you've done wrong. There's lots of support for that sort of thing. So when you come here, you really do want to get through these things as quickly as possible. Because if you had as many opportunities here to have insights as you do out there, you have to stay here for the rest of your life. Something to consider. So you want to... So try for four tomorrow. And then five the next day, six the next day.
And just keep
Yeah. So by day 29, woo!
Yeah.
Now you know that what I've laid out is the secret to success, right?
What's that four drum in the day?
Yeah. Then you go for five.
Oh, and then go
for five. And then go for six. And then go for seven. So that you're just on the lookout for it. What? It's not able to push you to sleep and then sneak up and hit you in the head.
So that's more like relishing it as an opportunity, isn't it, rather than some disaster that's
before. That's exactly right. And that's what this place is. We should have named it opportunity. Right? Spiritual opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, that's really great, yeah. Okay.
Gosh, I'm just struck by how much alike we all are.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. I am so...
Everybody. You are every person.
Yes, every person. I don't have the thing in my ear, but I have a similar thing. I have a new little animal friend living with me. So I'm getting this opportunity to choose how I want to be with that.
Is it real?
It's a real animal.
Oh,
yeah. Very adorable. And so it's very, very fun. And I'm just making peace with the hair.
Very good, very good.
So I want to talk about my version of that, upping it and nothing and looking for it. And it was something you said on today's radio show, perhaps to Danielle or maybe Paula, I don't know. And it was when you were saying, when we're present, we can choose whether to follow the thought or not. And it was something so simple and profound like that, it just hit me. And so I've been experiencing and following way too much these very angry, hateful, devil thoughts just, you know, just lack of gratitude, everything. And as I have been seeing that the difference between feeling victimized by them, it's like what you were saying about that quote, like, I'm not responsible for them, so therefore I'm victimized by them. But, yeah, so there's one, that's one side. Mm-hmm. And then it feels like what you were just pointing out is the other alternative to that, which is, well, I'm not responsible for them, so I'm not taking any blame for them, but I'm gonna use them as the thing that brings me here.
Yes, I'm gonna end them. And I'll tell you, you know, one of my favorite expressions is drunk with power, right? And to get that you can do that, you can watch those thoughts come at you and just go, no. And that's the end of it. I'm going to talk about happy dance.
I want to get drunk on that power. Yeah, that sounds really fun. I mean, I can even kind of go there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's just, no. And you turn your attention where you want your attention.
Yeah.
So, no victimization, no...
Yeah. Yes, and I had this... So, you know, so I'm watching it, like, let's see, what am I trying to say? There's a sense of, I can see when it scores one on me, you know, and it has, today, obviously.
She's happy about it.
It actually, I really was, because I caught it.
Yes.
That's the
difference. Yes.
You know?
I see you.
Yeah.
I have a thought.
Okay. You got me. Cursing a little bit, okay. That's right, you got me. But that's all right. You know. Exactly. What do we think? Set up again. and so that's sort of the turnaround that I'm and boy, it's everywhere. And it's just like a constant stream, you know, of opportunities to try to get me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and if they are just bringing you back to the present, their Morse code, bringing you back here, what a gift.
Yeah.
And when you see it, it's there's not a problem, there are no hard feelings, you see it and just go, okay, and that's the end of that. I'm here now. We don't need to think about that anymore, because that's not helpful. It got me here. Served its purpose.
Yeah, it served its purpose. That's how everything is unfolding to help me awaken.
Yes, sir.
Even putting those, I don't know if this is the right, but even putting those kinds of things in my mind or path or whatever.
Yes. Well, yes, because I don't know how it works. But there's that stuff. So we can call it karma, we can call it conditioning, although we don't really know. I mean, some of the stuff that's in that, I don't know about you, but I don't remember that as part of conditioning.
Yeah.
It's like...
What did I get that?
Yeah, exactly. it's funny to think about it that way, to realize there's something inside my head that, as far as I can tell, has nothing to do with my life.
Yeah. Mm.
So, okay, then why am I going to get in angst about this, right? Because it doesn't have anything to do with me. It's just there, right? And so you see that, and it's like, huh, that's interesting. Bye. And you're here. But if we go down the path of believing that we're doing that, that we're responsible, I mean, really, it stretches our ability to be credible. How do we want to go with that? You know where I'm going. No, you don't know where I'm going. It stretches our ability to believe, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, there's a credible thing that goes with that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
It's not here right now. That we should. I don't know. I've moved on.
Okay.
it had its chance to be there, and it wasn't there. So when we see that, when you get that there are things that just pop up randomly, you know you're not thinking about them, and you've never seen them before or heard them before, why would you want to take any of it personally?
Yeah.
Why fall for a, yeah, but that, now that is your fault? Because it's something you're familiar with. Because it's something that's stored in the past.
Yeah.
So somehow this is your responsibility. But did you decide to think about it right then?
Yeah.
No, actually, it just appeared there.
It just appeared. And see if this is true. If this is the whole pieces of home boulders of karma can be like that.
Oh, yes.
So like I have this one that I'm really a dangerous person. I could cause a massive amount of harm.
Mm.
And when I look, I can't see the evidence of that, really. Like I've never set off a bomb or anything, you know? And yet there is that it feels like it's just what you were talking about. Where did that come from?
Yes, and why am I believing it?
And that's what's possible now.
Yes.
Because I had been giving that so much power for all these unconscious reasons, right? That it must be karma, therefore it must be attached to me, therefore I must be sort of victimized by it, therefore I must...
And it must be true.
It must be true, yeah, or else it wouldn't be here. But that's what that little thing you talked about this morning on the radio show is sort of sliced apart. It's, no, it doesn't need to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't need to be given any credibility at all. What do you think? You did say
that.
So I'm just...
Yes, so now we're back to the what we were talking about earlier. So when that comes up, you just go, okay, well, that's really old, and it doesn't have anything to do with me, and thanks for helping me get here. No.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. And as we practice the, no, I'm not doing that, it begins to lose power. Because it has the power we're giving it, that we're feeding it. And so if we don't feed it, it's got nothing to live on.
We get to get drunk with power instead of
drunk with power.
I'm going to write that on a big post. My goal. Drunk with power.
Yeah, and not dangerous.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and you know, I'm sure that there's a connection in there that it wouldn't be too hard for us to find. That there is a sense of power that we have. And so ego would want us to believe that that makes us dangerous. Because, of course, we are dangerous to ego. So if it can make us afraid of ourselves, then it's really in a position of authority in our lives.
Sweet horror, like, I thought that one as well. You're dangerous, you're harmful, and I see you've never set off any bombs.
Or shot anybody, or stabbed them, or...
We could go for a while, and the answer would be no.
Haven't even willfully attempted to harm somebody, destroy their life, to...
No.
There's just rumors about them that would destroy their reputation. I mean, come on,
But I'm seeing so much about it, especially at the moment. So what was dropping immediately is something that I heard you say to me in group earlier this year, which is you have the power, you just haven't exerted it yet. And I've been exerting the power and experiencing what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
So if something comes up, some sort of karmic negativity, no.
Right.
I choose love.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm seeing about that is that how kind of that all has got put together, that because of that story of your dangers, your power, like you're just saying, I have identified with not wanting to have any power. I don't even, like, in that identification, I don't want to have the slightest bit of sense of agency, because if I take a step, it could be harmful, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what it has me believing is that what I want is to control in areas where
there is no control. And it saw me believing, it had me believing, I don't have power where I do have power.
Yes.
So it's like, so stay in this cup.
I'm sorry, but I just can't help myself. Because that's so perfect.
Yeah.
Because it controls you.
Yes.
It has controlled you.
Yes.
By making you believe that you want control.
Yes.
And it has taken the power mm-hmm. by making you believe you should be afraid to have power.
Exactly.
I love this.
I'm feeling so powerful.
Yes.
So here's how it goes, right? How it has gone, how it is dissolving over. So there's this karma. So being told you're dangerous, you're harmful, and I don't want any sense of agency. So there's something for me to do, and there's a massive amount of anxiety about doing it. I don't want to take a step because I might be harmful.
Mm-hmm.
So I put it off until either somebody says, Anna, if you don't do that thing, there's going to be some serious consequences, or like leave until after the deadline or something. So I have that sense of being made to do it. So the agency is taken away from me.
Not your fault.
Well, if anything happens, I was made to do it. I didn't exert any power. I didn't have any agency.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right. And of course, we're not meant to notice what we're doing with, under those circumstances, right? The position that we put other people in, all of that stuff.
Uh-huh.
That other people like to point out to us, they consider harmful.
Yes. Well, I mean, and then that's cemented. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because look. And so, you know, when I sit down and I look at, okay, I'm taking this on, every time I see that come up, I'm going to nip it and do the thing, right? What I hear, which is so revealing, is, but if you sit down to do something and you might so chaotic, it'll probably, like, something will come up and you won't be able to do it. Or, what if you can't actually overcome this thing? What if you don't have the power? Right, so, and what I'm seeing is that whole thing has been bamboozling me into looking at wanting to control this chaotic life that's stopping me from doing all this stuff, when the power is mine to say, I'm choosing to sit down and do this thing.
Yes.
That's where I have power.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have the power not to let that system control you.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Which is the... For ego, that's the whole game.
Yeah.
Right? That's the one we're never supposed to catch on to. That it's actually saying and doing everything that is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we're never supposed to catch on to how that's happening. Right? So you want control. That's why the you voices are so critical for us to catch on to. So you want control. You are harmful. You don't want to have power because you would. And so it's just laying out exactly its whole game plan.
Yes.
But it gets us to own it.
Yes.
And then be afraid of ourselves.
Yes.
Because we believe that what it's telling us we are. It's the ultimate projection.
Yeah, it's the ultimate fun.
To catch on to it.
Yeah.
And just keep flipping it. Just keep flipping it.
Because every time I turn attention to the choice to go beyond the trauma and nip it everywhere I see it, that whole little thing comes up of like avoiding it. What am I choosing?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I think it's
really helpful to write down and record all those new voices. Yeah. What if you don't have the power?
Yeah.
And of course, what that message is from ego. What if I don't have the power?
Yeah,
what if you don't?
It is like a lurking energy. Just feel it there. Yeah. I'm so grateful to be here at the monastery where it's like that experience of that power is just so much more available. Like being in all of these situations and workshops where I just like get to experience the strength and the adequacy that's here. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's more challenging.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, because I got to tell you, I've had a few thoughts about, so Anna's been gone for all this time, down there in the little retreat in the jungle, only to come back to the monastery, 100 degrees, and no air. So I'm really glad to hear you say that you're happy to be here. I thought, I wasn't quite certain about the timing.
Do you know, I cannot tell you how grateful I am for every last bit of it, because every bit of it is called for that adequacy. I am not the same person who stepped onto this property 10 or so days ago. It's like being called, you know, sort of coming up and going straight into supporting the retreat. Just that support phase, there's any little whisper of negativity. No, I'm here to support the retreat. It's just such a powerful structure for not indulging any of that. And like, I get to, it's like a whole new level of living or being alive that I actually get to experience directly the strength and the adequacy. And I don't know how else to put words to it other than...
It's perfect, isn't it?
It's perfect.
Yeah, it would be different. You wouldn't have had such a chance to experience all of that. Yeah. Come up here, it's 85 degrees, the air is clear, everything is easy, you can sleep. Yeah.
So, thank you, and thank you for the assistance getting up here, and I'm just treasuring it and just enjoying it.
Enjoying it.
Yeah.
And it's because it's finite.
Yes.
It's even more precious.
Yes. Well, it was that, just one quick last thing, but just before I come up here, that workshop of getting to see the authenticity and what not the authenticity, and like, this is what we're fighting for. Mm-hmm. And it's like no air too smoky, no whatever too whatever. I'm just so grateful for any chance to express that. So, yeah, thanks.
It's a good time. Did I see your hands? Okay, I'll do that.
I was liking that idea that just because a talk comes in doesn't mean you have to entertain it. And I thought a great model is, I keep getting these phone calls for, you know, because it's political season. I keep getting these phone calls, and I pick up the phone, and if there's this hesitation, you can hear that phone bank sound in the background, I stand up. And I always think, isn't it amazing that just because I have a phone, people think you have a right to use it? You know, that I should be contacted with everybody. And I thought, the same model happens with thoughts. You know, just because thoughts are, like, you know, the brain can take in thoughts doesn't mean that I have to entertain them. It's an entertainment. These thoughts think they should come in.
There's a brain available.
I'm joking. So that's very helpful. I had this fun experience today of catching conditioning sliding in under the radar a bit. So I had an occasion to do some speaking, and I had written this thing, and I really liked it. And I am excited about presenting it. And it was one of those sort of almost off the radar things that it was like, well, if you're that excited about doing it, just, you know, the message was sort of like, well, you're just creating a drama around this, you know, it's just all about you. And I thought, well, you know, when I wrote it, it just came. I mean, I didn't, you know that experience. I didn't write it. I sat down and it came. So it's really not, no, it's not all about me. And then the message after that was, well, then there's no reason to enjoy it. You know, when you present it,
Well, you probably shouldn't even give it, you know, because it wasn't yours in the first place.
It didn't go quite that far, but it was saying, it was almost like, well, just stand there and drone it out, you know what I mean? It's just like, it can only be enjoyable if it reinforces you.
Your ego, you. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I just said, well, actually, I'm going to enjoy it. I'm enjoying you thinking about it.
And I'm enjoying all this clarity about all this stuff.
That's right. And then, yeah, it's one of those, it's that same thing when the thought comes in, and it's so easy to get, it'd be so easy to go with it, except it wasn't true.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And which points to the fact that it's never true. Mm-hmm. It's just that we're meant not to be there to notice that.
Right.
We just kind of, it just sort of glances through, and we don't really see it, and it's in my head, so it must be true. It must be me, and so I just believe it and feel however I'm supposed to feel as a result. But you were there, so you can see it's a lie.
Well, you know, as you're reflecting that, the other thing I'm seeing is that, you know, we talked about in here that notion of compensation.
The
notion, is it compensation? Is it the Catholic notion of
consolation?
So what I was seeing, just what was laid out, was the consolation is, well, you did this. Mm-hmm. And that's where the enjoyment's supposed to come. Mm-hmm. But what we're really going to take away is the actual authentic enjoyment.
Yeah.
Because you shouldn't enjoy this.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Oh, it is so ugly. And the thing that's great about breaking it down like that is you were never going to win.
Oh, no.
The only hope we have truly is being present.
Yeah.
Because if the deck is so stacked against us, that it's staggering.
Yes. And just one other thing, people were talking about physical things. So I have my hand back.
Yes.
And it's so much fun. Yeah. And, you know, when they first did the cast out, there was just this kind of undifferentiated walk from here to here. And so just playing with every day, how much more can I do? You know? And what can I do before it gets painful? What's just uncomfortable? And what's painful? Mm-hmm. And then watching, the other day I looked at it and said, oh my God, I can see 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. I was so excited.
Uh-huh.
So it's been this wonderful kind of reawakening to, appreciating the phenomenon of a hand. And just watching and working with it in such an attentive way. It's just been one of the gifts of the last year or so. I've been talking about my toe for a while here, and you know, I'm still working on that with help from a person in town, and then now this hand and arm. It feels like an opportunity to get in touch with the partnership with the body that I really have never had before.
Right, right. Because you were always lucky enough to be able to take everything for granted.
Yeah.
Right? Why spend any time on your hands?
Yeah.
Just do what you want to do.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a joy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm enjoying it.
And, again, that's, you're never supposed to do that.
No.
It should have been a tragedy from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
And then a story that you can tell forever about the hardship of that happening and how you suffered and struggled.
Yeah.
And to realize,
what an awful story that is. That story would be the consolation, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
A great story.
Mm-hmm.
That makes you feel miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bad deal. Yeah.
First, two things that, I've been taking care of my body with more kindness and care than I have for a while, and it's just reminding me how everything responds to love.
Everything is better with love.
Everything is better with love, and it just seems like it just, you know, it's it's this body, and it feels the love.
Yes.
That's being directed that mm-hmm. toward it.
Mm-hmm. And you know, anyway, we don't have to go there, but it seems to me, this is true, but it seems to me that it's pretty easy to see the role that, just in this country, the role that sickness has.
Yeah.
Right? The level of self-hate, the level of disconnection from our physical being, it's no wonder bodies get sick. Because to be in a place of being unloved all the time, I mean, we don't do well when we feel unloved. And for so many people, the body spends every day in a condition of criticism and judgment and hatred.
Yeah. Wow. Just a whole lot came cascading in when you started. You know, just the how the, that conditioned system is set up to keep us disconnected from our bodies through the kind of medical care that we mostly deliver to people, which is rather hateful.
Yes, it is.
Very hateful. And just,
So did I tell you people this? This is my favorite statistic. More people die every year from prescribed drugs than from street drugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the doctor gave it to me. I mean,
it
must be fine. I know. I worked in alcohol and drug rehab for a while, and you see these sweet little old ladies in there, on the addict ward, because mm-hmm. my doctor gave it to me, mm-hmm. And I was just, it's just so, and they just took these things, and so they were just so, I'm just grateful for group, because it is so good to be reminded that I'm not an I that's terminally unique, that, I could just completely relate to, completely. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to look a little bit on my, I've been on a long, there's been a focus for a while of on unconditional love, and just discovering what that is, and we were just talking about I'm not a person that went out to ruin a person's life or create harm, I'm one of those people that hasn't intentionally done that. But if you have kids, there's like it seems like there's a lot of a lot of opportunity to get slammed with that "you ruined my life" sort of thing, I have had
are you ever tempted to say, "Oh, contraire, actually, you ruined my life"? Just as a conversation start. Think about it. Your life is going right on, and you're going, but mine, you didn't hear all this. Actually, you're a big apology.
It truly.
And monthly checks would be nice.
Well, I'm not holding my breath on those. They're never, anyway. Yeah, and so this ongoing workshop of well, things haven't turned out at all. Talk about plan A, plan B. I mean, as far as the motherhood and all that stuff, things have not turned out like somebody thought they were going to, with the,
living a Mother's Day card.
I mean, when I think about being a young mother and reading all these books, and I'm just like so devoted to doing it right. And that, they're going to grow up and love me, because I just totally did it different than my mom and dad, and I was like, wrong. So, So, what I'm working with right now is I've been using the two-handed recorder to just speak with the person who really did want to be a mom and did want, you know, grandkids and did want all of that that has not, you know, come to pass. And in doing that, it felt like just some clarity at the time. It's just like, oh, yes. That the whole family thing is how it is such a construct that is just like way not useful. And,
if I understand you, it's one of those where it is so unexamined. The belief systems are so huge that examining them is actually discouraged.
It's wrong
even to suggest that it would be possible not to have a relationship with people in your family.
Yeah.
Or to, I mean, people do things all the time, like moving to the other side of the country,
yeah.
Some little things like that, yeah. You know, which is okay, because, yeah. You know, I it was a job. I would never left two people except I got this great job. Acknowledging that is just,
it messes with that deep
belief system.
Yeah, it really messes with, it's
and a lot of ego torture.
It's not coming to me, but it's not good. I mean,
not good.
And or even to have family members that you just like don't like very much, and that, you know, just
let's just do it. Yeah. Does anybody have any family members that they really don't like very much?
Yeah.
Can you put up your hand if it's true?
And what if they're your children? You know, then that's really I can't even say that out loud.
Well, because that's your fault.
And because it's my fault.
Yeah.
And there's just this, such a strong belief still that there's something, there's some kind of life ring I can throw to, you know, it's what you were talking about the other day about drowning. If there's somebody, you know, you're going to look for somebody that's on the shore that's got good footing, and you know, you're not going to want somebody drowning next to you that is just going to go down with you
and I'll pull you down.
And I keep feeling this, you know, I keep going back and forth from the shore to the, you know, just like, God, there must be something that other than just being present and centered, you know.
Oh, I see. So there must be a possibility other than being present and centered.
There must be some way I can help that's like some kind of...
other than being present,
right,
and centered.
Just some that, doing,
uh-huh.
You know.
Isn't that good to see?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, yeah. You mean really, if I just don't jump into the deep water, and I just stay, you know, focused on unconditional love, and getting a sense of that unconditional love, like, I think for the longest time it was like, I have unconditional love for my kid or my family, but it's still
which is really interesting because, of course, we know that's not true, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then that's a shaky foundation.
That's
right,
a shaky
there.
Foundation.
Yeah. But that you should have, at least. Mm-hmm. So there's a you should have that,
mm-hmm.
for your family, for
yeah.
your kids.
Right, right.
Yeah. And so it feels disloyal to have to say, well, actually, why? Why not just practice having unconditional love? Everybody is somebody's kid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And it just feels like, it feels, I just feel a stronger move. I don't know how to say it. That's opening up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just opening up. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And the clarity that you're closing in on is, as long as it stays in that very conditional, actually, yeah. love mm-hmm. for my kids, there's no possibility of unconditional love happening.
Yes.
But if yes. you stay focused on yes. unconditional love,
yes.
then it, for anybody and everybody who happens to come along,
yes.
the chances of experiencing that for your own kids really increases.
That's exactly what I thought. It's like, oh gosh, it's just the cleanest place to stand to really be of assistance.
Yes.
To be a true assistance yes. is to just loosen all of those. Mm-hmm. All the ick.
All the about me. All the making it about me.
Making it about me. And yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And the other thing that I think is so good to consider in that is, excuse me, you may never know the results. You may never know mm-hmm. the impact
yeah.
of.
Yeah.
Of what it is that you're doing.
Yeah.
They may never write your card, dear mom. Thank you for the unconditional love.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean that they don't experience it, yeah. that something isn't happening somewhere inside.
Boy, that seems like such a valuable yes, because as long as there's as long as there's wanting proof.
Yes.
You know,
and it's all about me.
It's all about me again. If we're not in unconditional love. So it's just like, yes.
Yep.
Never
to love and let it all go.
And let it all go. But what I get to experience is that the joy of what it feels like to just be in that place of unconditional love. So, well, it's great practice, and mm-hmm. sometimes it's mm-hmm. sticky waters, but yeah.
But it gets clearer and clearer.
It gets clearer and clearer. Yeah. And just I just felt compelled to say this too. We were talking, you know, we've just been talking about the conditioned world and all that, and I just recently found out. Did you know that Mr. Rogers that was attacked for his giving the show where every morning he would say, you know, you're loved just for who you are, you're special, you know, I'm so happy you were born, you don't have to do anything, you know. He was attacked for ruining society, for giving that message to children, because it made them think they didn't have to work hard to be good people. Isn't that amazing? And when he actually, at his funeral, people showed up to protest him for being such a loving.
Why am I not surprised?
I mean, it's just so.
You know, in fact, I will tell you, Mr. Rochester, maybe you know this one too, but I actually saw his widow interviewed. She's 93.
Wow.
And they showed, she talked about who he was, and she said, in fact, he was Mr. Rogers. And on his television show, there was a black postman, mm-hmm. which is, right? I mean,
oh my God.
And at one point, he had the guy take off his shoes and put them in a tub of cool water, and he basically walked into Jesus. And, I mean, people were unhinged over the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't care.
He didn't care. He just was, I mean, you know.
He was just a saint.
He was just
Mr. Rogers.
He was just
Saint Mr. Rogers.
He was a saint. And yeah, it was interesting, too. At the end of his life, he went through that whole period of, I don't know what he did was of any value. Much like I heard when it said, Mother Teresa, Mm-hmm. You know, I just don't, you know,
to
pull myself out.
Who knows?
Yeah. Anyway, anyway.
Wow, that's great. How did you find that out?
I happened to go when I saw the movie.
Oh, there's a movie?
Oh, yeah. It's so beautiful.
Mm. Oh, is it a training movie?
I think so.
When did it come out?
It just came out about 3 months ago, and there's still big crowds going to the theater. I mean, it's balm for these times,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
To just see what one person, mm-hmm. I mean, and he didn't, you know, he didn't have such a...
Did they have that scene in the movie where he watched the guy's
where he was, and that came about, it came about at the time that there was... And down the south, black people were going into a swimming pool and they threw acid and chemicals in the pool while they were in there, mm-hmm. because they were in a white pool. And so his next show, he got out a little swimming pool, he put his feet in the water, and then when the postman arrived, he goes, "Gee, it's really warm. Would you like to take your shoes off and get in the pool with me?" Mm-hmm. And he sat there and... Anyway.
Where is Mr. Rogers when we need him?
And actually, well, anyway, I have to see him.
Okay. So it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, everybody.